a nephrologist's 5-year journey to losing 66 pounds. Earlier in his life, Shili Wong, medical director of Bowen Dialysis Clinic in Taiwan and a nephrologist, weighed 209 pounds and was diagnosed with fatty liver disease. After entering his 30s and starting a family, he told himself, "If I do not change my lifestyle now, I will certainly regret it in the future." By gradually developing regular exercise habits, he lost 66 pounds over 5 years. His fatty liver disease resolved completely, and he later traveled to Japan to compete in a marathon. Exercise first, diet second. In an interview with the Health 1+1 program on NTD, a sister outlet of the Epoch Times, Wong shared his approach to weight loss. He chose exercise as his primary method, aiming to improve physical fitness rather than focusing solely on the number on the scale. His weight loss was gradual, as he enjoys good food and was initially unwilling to diet. Even so, over about 4 years, his weight decreased from 209 pounds to 159 pounds. When he first attempted running, Wong said, he experienced knee pain after just a few sessions. Therefore, he switched to using an elliptical trainer and a stationary bike at home to gradually build endurance. After about 2 years, his physical fitness improved and his weight began to decline, allowing him to resume running. In addition to running daily, he also incorporated strength training at a gym. As he developed a passion for running, he sought to further reduce his weight to enhance athletic performance. Once he began controlling his calorie intake, his weight dropped more rapidly, from 159 to 137 pounds over 1.5 years. During his period of dietary control, he followed healthy eating principles and weighed his food to precisely calculate calorie intake, as professional athletes often do. Unlike many people who attempt to lose weight by reducing carbohydrate intake, Wong favored a high-carbohydrate, high-protein, and low-fat diet. "I train a lot and need carbohydrates," he said. "Without them, I lack energy and am more prone to injury." He focused primarily on whole, minimally processed foods, while limiting sweets and processed products. "Foods I eat regularly include salmon, shrimp, broccoli, edamame, mushrooms, baby corn, napa cabbage, bok choy, lettuce, seaweed salad, and chicken breast," he said. "My overall dietary approach emphasizes seafood and vegetables while keeping food choices flexible and prioritizing convenience and ease of preparation." After exercise, he typically drinks milk and eats protein-rich foods such as shrimp, scallops, and meat. These foods, he noted, provide not only protein but also other essential nutrients and are more enjoyable to eat. However, he does not usually use protein powder, which lacks many nutrients beyond protein and is considered a dietary supplement. He uses protein powder only when he does not have time to prepare meals or when rapid post-exercise replenishment is needed and does not rely on it as a substitute for other protein sources. People with chronic kidney disease require particular caution when using protein supplements and should do so only after evaluation by a registered dietitian, he said. Wong's primary source of dietary protein is seafood, which is high in protein while relatively low in calories. A 2019 review found that, compared with eating meat, regular intake of lean seafood was associated with reduced caloric intake and a lower risk of obesity. Additionally, fatty seafoods rich in omega-3 fatty acids may improve hormones related to insulin sensitivity, thereby helping to regulate blood glucose levels. The effects of lifestyle change. Changes in exercise and dietary habits were clearly reflected in Wong's health metrics. After committing to lifestyle changes, he made steady progress over 5 years, losing nearly 66 pounds and completely reversing his fatty liver disease. During the same period, his key indicators, including blood lipid levels and blood pressure, improved across the board. Blood test results showed that his triglyceride levels dropped from around 300 milligrams per deciliter to 30 milligrams per deciliter. His high-density lipoprotein, or good cholesterol, rose from below 30 milligrams per deciliter to 70 milligrams per deciliter. He also experienced less snoring, reflecting the close link between obesity and sleep apnea. Other minor physical complaints, such as muscle cramps and lower back pain, also eased as his overall health improved. "I had underestimated the impact of lifestyle changes on disease," he reflected. Maintaining weight loss long term. After losing weight, maintaining the results can be challenging for many people. Body weight, Wang noted, is ultimately shaped by lifestyle. Rapid weight loss often reflects overly drastic lifestyle changes, whereas slower weight loss indicates a more gradual and sustainable adjustment. A gradual approach makes it easier to identify what works over time, move steadily toward a lower weight, and reduce the risk of rebound weight gain. "I focus on exercise and do not fixate on my weight," he said. "Losing weight becomes a bonus. I think that mindset works quite well. Once exercise becomes a habit, I am not worried about regaining weight." Wang also shared his perspective on maintaining weight without becoming overly anxious. "Lifestyle changes can never be 100% perfect. I know I will inevitably encounter stress, and at times, I may give in and eat some junk food. So I focus on what I can control, choosing healthy foods, exercising, and getting enough sleep whenever possible," he said. "Over the course of a 7-day week, I might indulge for 1 or 2 days, but I stay on track for at least 5. Expecting perfection creates too much pressure. It is simply not realistic. Building an exercise routine gradually. For those interested in taking up running, Wang recommends establishing a consistent running routine before attempting long distances. Even if you are capable of running up to 6 miles in a single session, I would still recommend starting with about 1.2 miles, 3 times a week, he said. If your goal is to run for 30 minutes, speed does not matter, the slower, the better. Focus on completing the 30 minutes while keeping physical strain as low as possible. Pushing to one's limits too early increases the risk of injury, he said. Once an injury occurs, recovery often takes far longer, making the effort counterproductive. Walking as an alternative to running. Walking can provide meaningful health benefits for people whose physical condition makes running unsuitable, Wang said. However, walking burns roughly half as many calories as running and therefore requires longer durations to achieve similar weight loss effects. Some people worry that frequent running may damage the knee joints. Wang stated that obesity and physical inactivity are among the major risk factors for osteoarthritis, and that appropriate, moderate exercise can actually help reduce the risk of developing the condition. Preventing exercise-related injuries. Awareness and prevention of common exercise-related injuries are essential when establishing regular exercise habits and gradually increasing intensity. Yaoyuan Chang, an attending orthopedic surgeon at Tanyan General Hospital in Taiwan, told the Epoch Times that exercise-related injuries may occur suddenly, such as fractures from falls, ankle sprains, or muscle strains, or develop gradually over time. Examples of cumulative injuries include knee cartilage wear caused by prolonged or excessive running, as well as stress fractures, which are small cracks in the bone resulting from repetitive, long-term physical stress. Chang emphasized the importance of adequate warm-up before exercise and paying close attention to the body's signals during physical activity. While moderate exercise is beneficial for bone health, excessive or improper exercise can increase the risk of injury. In addition to avoiding overly intense workouts, Lin Gui, a traditional Chinese medicine practitioner in Taiwan, told the Epoch Times that TCM emphasizes adapting exercise to the seasons to support overall health while managing weight. During winter, he advises against exercising too early in the morning and recommends waiting until daylight hours, while also avoiding extreme cold, strong winds, and heavy snow. When weather conditions are unfavorable, indoor exercise is preferable. A review published in Atherosclerosis found that both high and low temperature environments are associated with an increased risk of acute cardiovascular events.